بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مستجمعا قط ضاحكا حتى ترى منه لهواته إنما كان يتبسم. متفق عليه. This chapter which we began the discussion yesterday, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has given it the heading Al-Waqar wa-Sakina, the chapter which deals with dignity and composure. It's a very brief chapter. In it is just brought one hadith. Actually, we'll realize when we see the next, begin the discussion on the next chapter, that the two chapters are linked. Nevertheless, interestingly, the narrator of the hadith is Aisha radiallahu anha. In it she says that I never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughing in such a manner that this fleshy part at the back of his throat was visible. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would merely smile. The piece of skin that hangs at the back of the throat, some call it the epiglottis, or the more detailed description will be the fleshy tissue at the back of the mouth. If a person has to open his mouth very wide, then only it would be possible for that piece of flesh to become visible. So this description of the laugh of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would he laugh? We find that they have this expression in English where a person guffaws. Guffaw, in other words, to laugh audibly, loudly, keep laughing. This was not part of the demeanor and manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would not laugh loudly. Very rarely, on occasion, something was very really amused Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time, Sahaba would say that the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become visible. Very rarely, this was not often. Badat nawajizahu, we find in riwayat, sometimes the premolar, the molars, the teeth at the back, sometimes would become visible when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed. But generally, innama kana yatabassam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, generally, the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he used to merely smile. It never ever happened that the fleshy tissue at the back of the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become visible. In fact, it is mentioned part of the haya, the shame, the modesty, the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be that he would place his hand over his mouth. In other words, if something had really amused the Nabi of Allah and he had laughed, or what we would might say, laughed openly, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would place his hand over his mouth. Now, what is the link between this and waqar and sakina, composure and dignity? Ulama ikram mention, they say excessive laughter, when a person is in a habit of keep laughing, and we find some people laugh audibly, they laugh loudly, they are known to be such, looking for jokes, laughing all the time. This type of excessive laughter diminishes one's honor and dignity. This composure or dignity that used to was like a cloud over Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone is to keep giggling and laughing, obviously that would diminish that. More importantly, it indicates towards what we call ghaflat or negligence. A Muslim, many, many places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala warns us against what we call ghaflat. Ulaika humul ghafilun, ya'lamuna zahiran min al hayati dunya, wa hum anil akhirati hum ghafilun. This word ghaflat, ghafil, comes many, many times in the Quran, and we find more often than not this word Ghaflat is directly linked with the kayfiyat and the state of the heart. One classical example of this is where Allah Ta'ala in one verse describes the people of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. We have prepared for Jahannam many of the jinnat and insan. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Allah says, they have hearts and minds, but they have not understood. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They are like animals. No, they are more deviated than animals. And then, أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. These are the people of ghaflat, of negligence. In the opening chapter, in the opening introduction of this verse, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts, but they have not understood. So in other words, there is a direct link with the state of ghaflat and negligence and the kayfiyat and manner of one's heart. And we find the warning in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Excessive laughter destroys the heart. Excessive laughter, we find the word in the heart, in the hadith, to meet brings about maut, mautul qalb, the death of the heart. Not death, physical death. This is spiritual death. Kayfiyat and manner of the heart. And in one riwayat, wa yudhibu bi nuril wajh, and it takes away the nur, the illumination, the face, the light on the face of a believer. Now what is this death of the heart? Ulama Ikram say that excessive laughter and pleasure with dunya is a destructive poison which drains the heart of khawf, of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, of huzn, of grieving, or of worry, of sorrow, of dhikrul maut, of the remembrance of death, wa ahwalul qiyamah, and of the remembrance of the terrors that lie ahead. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he told Sahaba, he said, لو تعلمون ما أعلم. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ. O my Sahaba, if you people knew that which I know of what lies ahead, the very, very critical obstacles that lie ahead, the tests and the challenges of qabr, of akhirat, of hashar, of jannat, of jahannam, if you people knew that which I know, لَذَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would laugh less, وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, and you would laugh and you would cry more. So nothing wrong with laughing, but within proportion. Don't be somebody who is giggling all the time, guffawing, laughing loudly. This goes against composure and manner. This doesn't in any way mean that you must not be pleasant and approachable. I mentioned this many times. That is why I mentioned when I said, interestingly, it is the riwayat of Aisha radiallahu anha. She is the one who says, Rasulullah would not laugh openly so that the fleshy tissue at the back of the mouth was visible. Whereas Aisha radiallahu anha is also the narrator when she was asked to describe the demeanor and manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did she say? She said, "Kana dhahakan basaman." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dhahakan comes from the word dhahik, which means to laugh. Dhahakan is mubalagha, in other words, always laughing. By always laughing, basaman, smiling, in other words, pleasant nature, affable, approachable. Other hand, Sahaba described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana daim al fikri wal ahzan, always in fikr and gham. So the fikr concern of akhirat, the fikr concern of the ummah, this was there. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow it to become so ghalib, so overpowering, that all the time if you looked at him, he was in grief and sorrow. No. Someone who is in grief and sorrow, this repels people. You won't be able to go close to such a person. People used to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was approachable. They were able to go close to him. How? Because of this balance. Then he was pleasant. He would smile. Not laugh, but smile. Inna kathrata dhih tumitul qalb. So the same narrator, Aisha radiallahu anha, one side dhahakan basaman, other side she describes the laughter. Innama kana yatabassam. My Nabi would merely smile. So this was part of the composure and dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like I mentioned, this chapter was very brief, but it is linked to the next chapter. Obviously, because of time constraints, we'll just introduce the next chapter. Babu al-Nadab ila ityani salah wal-ilm wa nahwihima min al-ibadat bis-sakinati wal-waqar. The same description, bis-sakinati wal-waqar. This is the chapter which deals with the desirability of going to salah and to the gatherings of knowledge and other similar forms of worship with composure and dignity. Every day, 5 times a day, we have to go to the masjid. Likewise, besides the masjid, sometimes there is a dini majlis and gathering to attend. Sometimes there are other forms of worship like janaza or other occasions wherein people are gathering. So you are going to have to present yourself there. How should you present? What should be your demeanor and manner? So of all the arkan, of all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behind which Muslims will gather or you will have to go to such a gathering, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah obviously first and foremost singles out salah, coming to the masjid. How should you come to the masjid? What should your composure, demeanor and manner be? So he says, bis-sakinati wal-waqar. Come to the masjid in a dignified manner. Come to the masjid composed. Allah Ta'ala describes this in the Quran. Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. That, O Ibn Adam, O son of man, adopt zinat, adopt beauty, adopt decorum every time you proceed for salah. Inna kulli masjid. When you enter the masjid, there must be this decorum, there must be this composure, there must be this dignity, there must be this calmness about you. Not only masjid for gatherings of ilm, knowledge, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions, or other types of ibadat. When we proceed, how should we proceed? Here again, as I mentioned in the previous chapter, the ubur and understanding of Quran that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah had, of all the verses of the Quran that he could have selected to, he introduces this chapter with one verse of the Quran. It's been mentioned in previous chapters also. قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب صدق الله العظيم. That whoever honors the symbols of Allah, شعائر الله means the symbols, the distinguishing characteristics, the beacon of light, the resembling characteristics of Islam, of Allah. فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Then it is because of the piety of Islam. شعائر الله. Ulama say, the most stressed rukun and foundation of Islam, after the two shahadats of أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, in other words, after kalima, the most stressed rukun of Islam is salah. So وَهِيَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Salah is the most august and most the most auspicious of the symbols of Islam. So obviously the chapter deals with how you should come to salah and other majalis of deen. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this verse of the Quran. Inshallah we'll continue soon.